Okay, good morning, everybody. Double parsha this week, Bahar B'chukotai. And we'll start with, I have actually two pieces from Rav Schwab and two pieces from the Shem Mishmul, Hasidic source, which we've seen before. So let's start with Rav Schwab. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. And God spoke to Moshe from Har Sinai, and Rashi, a famous Rashi, he quotes, Rashi hevi divrei ha-Torat Kohanim, ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai. Right? What does shmita have to do with Har Sinai? V'halo kol ha-mitzvot nemru b'Sinai. All of the mitzvahs were mentioned at Har Sinai. So why dafka mention Har Sinai, right? So I've in years past, I think I've mentioned the true story, actually, of somebody who came to Israel and got into this hotel room late at night. This is a true story. And he turned on the television, and there was a rerun. There was a rerun of an old television show called Kojak.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
So Kojak was a detective, a bald detective, and he had a brother, Stavros, and Stavros was always a little stupid, a little dumb.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to deal with a certain issue, and Kojak says, "Let's do this," and Kojak says, "Well, let's do this and that." So he looks at him and he says, "What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?" And if you look at the Hebrew subtitle, it said, "Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai." Right? So that was that's a true story. So that's our question here. What does shmita have to do with Har Sinai? But really, the question is that all the mitzvahs were given at Sinai. So why dafka mention the laws of Shemitah, the Shabbat Haaretz, that the land has to lie fallow for the entire year? Shenira midivrayim shahakusha hi mai shna shmita mikol mitzvot haTorah lahasmich mitzvot shmita lahar Sinai. Why dafka shmita? Why not? There are 613 mitzvahs, so say any of the other mitzvahs. Umitaretz, and the answer is lelamei haklal. Rashi continues to teach a general rule. Alma shmita nemru prateha v'ditukeha yachad im klaloteha v'sinai. Just like shmita was given with all its general rules and its particular rules at Mount Sinai, av kol mitzvot came. So all the mitzvahs were given with all their details. He says still v'akati tzarach biur. We still need an understanding. You could have put another mitzvah next to Har Sinai to teach this rule. Why dafka shmita? Okay, answer. V'hanira b'zeh, so let me suggest an answer. He says, the shiny shmita. Shmita is different. She'etzim ha-mitzvah mora she'nemra b'sinai. It is so apparent that shmita could only have come from Sinai, could only have come from God, could not have been made up by the rabbis. Why? V'i Torah min ha-shamayim, it's definitely from heaven. She'im tim salomer, think about it. She'mitzvot ha-Torah hem dvarim she'badu chachamim, chachmei Yisrael b'libam. If you would say that the mitzvahs were made up by the rabbis, kemo she'tovim ha-kofrim, as the non-believers say, lo haya mitzvah k'shmita b'Torah, there would never be a mitzvah shmita. Kisechel ha'anushi, common sense, so let it mi'inyan ha-shmita. It rejects the notion of shmita. It rails against shmita. Why? Va'av kishetim salomer. So let me say this. Shesadeh boreh hu davar bari v'goremet l'tzmicha b'yeter seik l'shana haba. You know, there is an idea of alternating for farmers, to alternate fields, to give strength to one field. So don't plant and plow in one field, let it lay fallow 1 year, and plant in the other field. So alternate your fields, right? That makes sense. Mikol makom, Lo gozrim shekol asadot v'akramim kulam yishpetu b'shana achat kulam v'yachat. But would a farmer say that, okay, one year I'm going to leave all my fields fallow? That's insane, right? Kizeh alul ligrom ra'av ba'aretz. You're going to create famine in the land. U'mishbar klali, kilkali. So no one's going to do that. It doesn't make sense. U'befrat hashmita hashviit. And especially the seventh shmita, after seven times seven, you have the yovel, the jubilee year. Haritzufa u'smucha l'shnat ha'yovel. So you've got 2 years where there's no working the land. It makes no sense whatsoever, right? U'mishum hachi. Nakta HaTorah Shmita Mibein Kol Yitaryu Mitzvot. That's why Shmita hands down has it over all the other mitzvot, of a mitzvah that makes no sense, makes no common sense, has to have been given by Sinai. HaMitzvah Ki HaMitzvot Mitzvot Shmita Yesh Lo HaGush Panka. It has the seal of Har Sinai. The HaKol Modi. Everyone will admit Shazui Davar Eloki. This has to come from God. No man could make up such a law because according to Sechla Anushi, according to common sense, it makes no sense. No one's going to think about this. Therefore, Dafka Shmita, just like Shmita was said at Sinai, Biklaloteu Prateha, with all of its general rules and its specific rules, the Diktukeha, Af Kol HaMitzvakach, so to all the other mitzvahs. So that's how he answers the question very nicely. Now, the second piece is also from Rav Schwab, and the Parsha speaks about the mitzvah, a prohibition of lending a Jew money on interest. You're not allowed to take interest from a Jew. So he asks, and here's the pasuk, v'chi amuch achicha, when your brother is poor, v'chi achicha, v'chi imach, and he lives with you, al tikach mito neshech v'tarbit, Don't take any interest. Fear God. Your brother has to live with you. So he asked the question. We have to understand. The prohibition of taking interest also is not a logical. It's not a logical thing. You're entitled to do business. You're in the car rental business. You rent a car. Well, you shouldn't take money. Right? Damai havi kol agar neter asur umay shna misharim yanei schirut. Why is this different than any other lending out money, lending out things, right? Renting out a car dealership, like the example I'm giving. So why not money? Why can't I lend my brother money and take interest? Shimutar li litvoa mamon me'adam al hazman shishtamesh b'shari. If I have a right to charge a guy for the time he rents out my cow, right? Lama ye'aser litvo mimenu schirut al hazman shishtamesh b'kaspi. Why can't I take money for the time that he borrowed my money? I mean, I could have used that money, I could have invested it, I could have made money on my money. I'm losing money. V'chei ma'asinu sha'af l'mandomer gezel akum asur. And now you're allowed to take from a non-Jew. You're allowed to take from a non-Jew. So he says, even according to the opinion that you cannot steal from a non-Jew, right? Which we, by the way, hold by. No, cannot steal from a non-Jew. Mikol makom. That being said, l'kuli alma mutar litol ribit mi'akum. But everybody holds. Everybody holds you can take interest from a non-Jew. V'hadvarim atikim. So how do we understand that? How do we understand that? Why should there be an isur of lending money on interest? It's no different than lending him a cow or anything else, and I have a right to charge for it. So he says like this. See, the key word here, I'll tell it to you in my words. The key here is v'chay achicha imach, v'chi imach achicha. Twice in the psukim, it mentions your brother. Twice it says that interest is not allowed for your brother. What's the emphasis? Let me ask you a question. Would you lend money if your mother asked you for money? Would you lend her on interest? Okay, I'll lend you money. Your son. Would you lend your son money and charge him interest? Seichel tells you, how can I lend money to my child, to my parent, and charge interest? So, because it's really a double-fold question here. Why shouldn't there be interest? And if there isn't, and if there is no interest, why do we allow interest to a non-Jew? So the answer is that it's not about the Jew or non-Jew, it's about family. It's about family. V'chai achicha, v'chi yamuch achicha. This is a family thing. This is not, you know, racist. The non-Jew says to you, well, why can't you lend to me? This is a family thing, it's my family. My family, I can't lend money to my family. You're not part of my family. I'll lend you money, you need money, I'll lend you money, but I have a right to take interest. Just like if I lend you my car, I have a right to take money for it, right? You're not my family. Klal Yisrael's a family. That's the pshat of interest. That's what it means. That's why you can't charge interest. The iser of charging interest to a Jew. Because it's a family thing. You don't charge interest to your mother. You don't charge interest to another Jew. A non-Jew, it's not a racist policy. You're not part of my family. I have a right to deal with you like any other business. And this is, he says it in his words. It's a beautiful idea. V'efshar lahasbir, let me explain. Shehagam sheribit eino avla b'tchum olam hamischar. It's granted that interest is not a sin. It's not a terrible thing in the world of business. It's common practice. Avol b'mizgeret hamishpacha ein lamakom. But in family matters, there's no room for interest. Interest doesn't belong to families. V'lo notlim ribit me'ach. You don't take interest from a brother. Umilu beribis sosrim ha'ach v'shal klal Yisrael. Charging ribis destroys the notion of family and brotherhood amongst the Jewish people. Right? Ki ein ze matim liyachas ha'achim litbo ribis al halvo. It's just not passing, as they say. It just does not pass. It's just not right to take interest from a family member. Ulechein higisha katuv ha'achva bekan. That's why achva is mentioned twice here. V'chi amuch achicha, v'chai achicha imach. That's the pshat. Beautiful, beautiful interpretation from the Shwab. Okay, let's go to three. This is the Shem Yishmor. Rashi quotes a mechilta, which he picks up on. B'yom hashvi'i tishpot, af b'shana hashvi'it. Oh, so we're talking about Shemitah. Right? Bahar, you have the mitzvah of Shemitah. That just like that, we have our own personal Shabbos. Klal Yisrael has to keep Shabbos. Eretz Yisrael is humanized in this sense, in that there is a Shnat HaShemitah, that the whole country has to keep Shabbos. You cannot work the land. Right? So Rashi quotes a statement from our oral tradition that says, Af b'shana hashviis, even in the Shemitah year, lo te'aker Shabbat Bereshit Mimikoma. Don't think that since the whole world, the whole Eretz Yisrael is keeping Shabbos the whole year on the land, so you don't have to keep Shabbos that year, the regular Shabbos, right? Shalom Tomar, Hoyl V'Kol Hashana Kriya Shabbat, since the whole year is called Shabbos, Lo Tinhagbo Shabbos Bereshit. That's the statement that Rashi quotes. A very strange statement. Why would I think that because it's Shnat HaShemitah, that the whole Eretz Yisrael is keeping Shabbos on the land, therefore I'm exempt from keeping the mitzvah of Shabbos every week.
There is Rashi quoting that
from. From the Mechilta. Right? Mechilta in Parshat Mishpatim. It's right there. You see, you can check it, you can look it up. V'yesh lahavim. I don't understand this question, he says. Halo shvitat Shabbat bereshit, hi shvita kfula u'mechupelet, if you think about it, the Shabbos of the land is limited. It's only agriculture. You just can't do the melachas of plowing and farming. But the Shabbos, regular Shabbos, there's 39 melachas. So what do you mean? Where's the seichel in this? What does it mean? Right? What were the rabbis thinking? That this lenient Shabbos of the land should cancel out the severe Shabbos of Shabbos. Right? What's going on? What's behind this statement of the rabbis? Right? And there has to be something behind it. Two lines down. Venera. Let me offer a suggestion, says the Shem Yishmor. Dine b'chol makom shemuzkeret Shabbat. Every time Shabbos is mentioned in the Torah, nichtevu lefanah sheshet you may amasa, right? 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh you shall rest, right? There's always this contrast, this drama between the 6 days of the week and the day of Shabbos. V'kvar amdu b'zeh meforshei Torah, and the commentaries comment. V'nirim, what do they say? D'hineh, l'fi ma'alasa g'dulasa shel Shabbos, shime'ein olam haba. We say that Shabbat is me'ein olam haba. It is a taste of the world to come. It's on a very high spiritual level. Maybe when we finish this, I'll say something over on that notion of me'ein olam haba. But Shabbos is like me'ein olam haba. It's a taste of another world. Right? E'afshar l'zachot bo ela yedei masha ish mashlich mimenu tirdot ha'malachot v'tirdot ha'parnasar shel sheshit yimei ha'maaseh. The only way you can reach the sanctity of Shabbos is to throw away, discard, the non-sanctity of the secular. You've got to get rid of all of the non-kedusha, the non-holiness, in order to really enter the world of Shabbos. And that's what it's really all about, right? We don't do malacha. We divorce ourselves from the secular, from the non-holy, and we live in this world of kedusha. We have to get rid of all of the secular thoughts, right? We're not even allowed to not only do business on Shabbos, you can't talk about business on Shabbos, right? So you've got to get rid of that. In order to reach the level of Kedusha, you have to somehow remove the non-Kedusha. Zochin l'umad zeh l'Kedusha Shabbos. Then we'll be zocha to the sanctity of Shabbos. Ukemo olam haba, just like the world to come. Shelefi ma'alato, according to its nobility, its level, e'afshar l'zachot bo ela al yedei ma shemirachet mi'olam hazeh. If a person wants to achieve the reward of olam haba, he has to minimize his engagement in the pleasures of olam hazeh. Just about two lines down. So then he quotes now his father. Kvod kedushat avi. You know, his father was the famous Avnei Nezer, right? The Sochet Shavar Rebbe. He gib b'shem Rabbo, he said in the name of his Rebbe, the Chedush HaRim. The Chedush HaRim was the Rebbe of the Sochet Shavar. I also think it was his father-in-law. Chedush HaRim, the first Gera Rebbe. Migur, right? Bishvil Shem, what's the pshat in all of this? Bishvil Shem nitrachek me'olam hazeh. We have to remove ourselves from olam hazeh. Vapirish kanal. This is what it means. Ukein she'ita b'zohar kodesh. And our Kabbalistic commentators say she'kol mash adam boreach me'achitzoniut. The more a person runs from material things, bo l'umato b'pnimiut, he will enter the world of the spiritual. K'mo shekatuv va'yivrach Moshe mipnei Paro. Moshe ran from Paro. So the Kabbalistic interpretation of that is he ran away, he rejected the material world of Egypt. Bol umatobik dushav yashav al aber. And he lived by the well of water, which is always a metaphor for Torah. V'ilu yitzuyar. And if you think about it, ha'eder hayit rachut me'olam hazeh. The running away from this world. Lo haya b'mal l'zachot b'olam haba. In other words, without that, actually he's saying, v'ilu yitzuar ha'eder ha'itrachu, if you don't run away from the material world, you will not gain the world to come. Uke'en zeh, in other words, the more you flee from superficiality, the more you achieve the real thing. That's what he's really saying. Uke'en zeh hu shabbat me'en olam haba. And that's where Shabbat is. Me'ein olam haba, because Shabbat is not superficial. Shabbat is pnimiut. It's the real thing. It's the deeper meaning of life. It's the spiritual essence of the world. She'ilu yitzuyar ha'eder sheishet yimei ha'maaseh lo haya b'mel yizchot b'kdushat Shabbat. B'kdushat Shabbat. Because you have to function in the world. You have to function in the material world. But you have to contrast it, and you have to walk away from it. After 6 days, you go sheishet yamim ta'aseh melachtecha. Right? You have to have the contrast in order to appreciate what Shabbos is. Therefore, before the commandment of Shabbos, the Torah writes, the 6 days, to show you that contrast. So based on this, Yuvan, so now I can understand what he was thinking, Asal Kedaita, that perhaps Shabishvit, Shekola Shana Nikrit Shabbat, the whole year is called Shabbos, Ve'en Kan Sheshime Maisa, you don't really have that contrast. So how can you really keep Shabbos? I can't really keep Shabbos, I don't have the contrast of six normal days before, because every day is Shabbos. Every day is Shabbos, so maybe I should do away with the regular Shabbos, right? Shahari Asurin Ba'avoda Karka, we can't do the Avodas Karka. It says, Lo Chashuva Kol Kach Ha'itrach Kut Minyan Echol. So we're not really escaping the material world, because all week we're in Shabbos mode, we're in Shabbos mode. So maybe we don't have to keep Shabbos, because keeping Shabbos means that you have to have the dramatic distinction of Chol for 6 days, and we don't have that. So therefore it comes along, L'zeh Bo Azara. Therefore the Torah comes along and says, Sha'ava Pike, no, Lo Ta'akir Shabbat Bereshit Yimkoma. Nothing doing. But that would be the mindset of thinking that you could do this. Okay, interesting thought. I just want to add, perhaps, a shot in, that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. And I might have mentioned this in the past, I don't recall. But what does it mean that Shabbos is a taste of the world to come, right? And it means what it says, right? It's a taste of that world, Shekulo Emes, the world of truth, where we don't have to do anything. Everything is set for us, a set table. That's why when we do the Isser of Malacha, you can't do this and you can't do that. It's not about you can't do this and you can't do that. It's about you have to prepare everything so that when you come into Shabbos, I don't have to do this. And I don't have to do that. It's not that I can't light a fire. It's not that I can't do this. The shot is, I don't have to. I've come into this world of serenity where I don't have to do any melacha. I've arrived. This is my sense of arrival. Right? Olam haba is our sense of arrival. Now, this is the concept. So any concept, philosophical concept like this, has to express itself in halacha. So where's the halacha? Where is halacha in our practice on Shabbos? Where is this concept mentioned? On Shabbos. It's not in Kiddush. We don't say in Kiddush, Shabbat, Hu Me'ein Olam Haba. We don't say that. We say Zeh Yitzhak Mitzrayim, then we say, right? Where is it? It's not in Davening. It's not in the Shemoneh Esrei. The Kadesh Shabbat we say, right? Kadesh Shabbos. But you don't say Me'ein Olam. Where is it mentioned?
In the Zmiras.
In the Zmiras it's mentioned. You're getting close. It's mentioned in benching. In Birchat HaMazon. In the Harachaman. Harachaman hu yanchilenu yom shekulo shabbat l'chaye olam haba. It's in benching. Let me ask you a question. Why in benching? Why is it mentioned in benching? I'll tell you why. You want to take your family out to eat on a Sunday, right? You don't have Sundays here anymore. There's no such thing as a Sunday, right? But you want to take your family out on a Thursday night for supper, right? Because Friday's Sunday, right? So all day, everybody's starving. No breakfast, no lunch, because we're going to the best, our favorite restaurant, right? And you come into that restaurant, and everybody orders their favorite meal, and is enjoying it, and you're sitting there, and finally you finish, I can't eat a thing for the rest of my life. And then your neighbor comes in, an hour and a half later, and they did the same thing, and they sit next to you, and they start ordering, and you can't look at their table, right? You can't even look at the food, right? Because you have reached a point where you feel you can never, ever eat again. But what happens 5 hours later, 6 hours later? You're hungry again, right? That's the pshat that Shabbos is, it's not really Olam Haba, it's Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a kind of, it's like Olam Haba. It's a sense of arrival. We've arrived. We don't need anything. But it's a false sense of arrival. Where do you have that false sense of arrival in human activity? In eating. When you eat, you finish eating, you have that sense of fulfillment that I've arrived, I know I will never have to eat again. Right? But it's a false sense. It's a false sense of arrival. So dafke in the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon, of benching, of thanking God for the food, that's where we feel the concept of Me'ein Olam Haba. It's our sense of arrival. Okay? Let's do the final piece. This is also a Shem Yishmuel. It's not as long as it looks. It's an optical illusion. Okay? All right, so now he's going, now this is the Bechukotai. In Bechukotai, you have the clause, right? The anti-blessings, the anti-brachas, right? You know, usually the Bakore lowers his voice a couple of decibels when he lays the...
And quickly,
right? So the Chafetz Chaim used to say, that's not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do. It's like, you know, you go to a dangerous place, so you go like this, like a child. A child goes like this. You can't see me, right? You can't see me, right? Or you go like this. You have to hear the Tochacha. We have to hear the Tochacha, right? But it should be a little bit lower, but not low enough that you can't hear it. You have to be Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. There's a joke they tell that in Europe, nobody wants to take that bracha by that aliyah. You know, it's not the favorite aliyah to get, to be called to the Torah for the Tochacha. So in Europe, they used to hire a guy to do the Tochacha. They would pay him a few dollars, right? So they hired a guy, and they get to, and he's not in shul. So they go slow, they slow down, the chazan's a little slower. They take out the Torah, they're singing more than usual. He still doesn't show up. They take the Torah, they put the Torah on the bima, they uncover the Torah. Finally, he comes charging in, and he's schwitzing. So they say to him, what took you so long? We were getting nervous. So it works out much better in Yiddish, but I'll say it in English, you know. He said, you know, from one tochacha, you think I can make a living? You know, I went to another shul, I've been to three or four shuls already, right? To make a little money on this, right? Okay. So here, at the end of the tochacha, and it's actually a machlokes, a difference of opinion, whether this verse is part of the tochacha or not part of the tochacha. The Torah says, Zacharti et briti Yaakov, v'etriti Yitzchak, v'etriti Avraham, v'gamet ha'aretz eskor. So usually we mention Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the chronological order, but in the Tochacha, they're mentioned in reverse order. Now, there are many answers to this. He's going to discuss one particular answer. He'll get to it at the end of his discussion here. And he compares this, the reversal of the order, Ahud Yichsiv, he compares it to the creation of the world. Lifnim ha'aretz yisadeta u'ma'asi yadecha shamayim. There's a pasuk that says aretz was created and then shamayim. Now, we know that in Bereshis, it says Bereshis bara elokim as ha'shamayim ve'es ha'aretz. And here you have a verse that talks about aretz before shamayim, the physical world before the spiritual world. But in the creation chapter, it says Shemayim, the heaven, and the arts, the earth. Beisil Beishamayim. Difference of opinion here. Beishamayim Omrim, Hashamayim Nivru Tchilo. Beisil says, heaven was created before earth. Ubeishil Omrim, and Beisil says, Haaretz Nivra Tchilo. Aretz was created first. Strange, because it says Shemayim, Haaretz, but what's going on here? Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem Chachamim Amar, Lebriya, he said like this, he makes a compromise. Creation-wise, Shamayim Kidmu. In the terms of creation, Shamayim was created first. Ule Shichlu, but in the fulfillment of the world, Ha'aretz Kadmu. The world, the earth became first. The earth comes first, the priority. We'll see what it'll become clear. Amar Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon, Im Kedas, Sha'amar Abba, Sheshneim Nivru Ka'achat. They were like sort of created together. Mikom Makom Maktim Shemayim L'Aretz, but Shemayim came first. Ubimokim Echad Maktim Eretz L'Shemayim, but at a certain point, Eretz was put ahead, right, like a race. Elamila Mech Sheshneim Shkulit, but what you see here is there's an equity between Shemayim, the spiritual things, and Eretz, the physical things. There's Shavin Zevizet. Ad Bikom Makom Maktim, now, he says like this. Bekol makom, makim Avraham la'avod. We have two things here. Let's try to hold on to this. You have two things where there's a mixed up order here. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov is in a certain verse is Yitzchak in our portion this week is Yaakov Yitzchak and Avraham, and Shamayim va'aretz heaven and earth in the Torah generally. But you have one verse where it says aretz v'shamayim. So eventually he's going to tie these two together. So let's see what he says. He says, Ad b'chol makom makdim Avraham la'avot. Normally, Avraham's first. V'kan v'zacharti et priti Yaakov. But here Yaakov comes first. Melamed she'shlosh nan shavim zeh v'zeh. So what he's saying here, the rabbi says, is to show you that they're equal. They're equal. Just like Shemayim and Aretz, now we say Aretz and Shemayim, is to tell you they're equal. Don't think because it says Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov all the time that Avram is superior. No. Now I'm going to switch them around to tell you they're equal. What does that mean? What does all that mean? So let me try to explain. He says, Nir lefaresh apluta b'beis shamay b'beis hillel. Let me explain that the machlok is between b'beis hillel and b'beis shamay. That b'beis hillel says Aretz came first and b'beis shamay says Shemayim comes first. Af dema dehava hava, whatever was. Uma naftamina, who cares? What difference does it make to us? Im zek kodem o zek kodem. We've got both. So who cares what came first? No. Dvarim gedolim ishmiyam. There's something very deep here. Ki yadua, it is known, shadam hu olam katan. Every human being is a world in microcosm. Every person is a world in unto himself. And therefore there has to be a similarity of the created world in the created man. V'kol ma sheyesh b'olam ha'gadol, whatever exists in the whole world, yesh dugmato v'katan, exists in our little world, each and every one of us. Hashamayim v'aretz, by us, yesh dugmatam ba'adam, moach v'lev. Moach is shamayim, the brain, intellectual capacity, v'lev, our humility, our emotional capacity. Mahut hamoach lehitromein. The essence of the brain is to elevate. Uvenitvakesh mimenu lehiot mugbah bedarkei Hashem. The brain, the intellectual drive of man, wants to know more about God, wants to know more about the world. V'shiyasok bahasagot, and wants to think and delve deep into things. Ulahagbia. It's gadlut hadam. The moach represents the greatness of man. He wants to aspire to greater things through his intellectual ability. Ad bifnei shamayim, ad kanvei shamayim, he wants to reach heaven. V'halev, the heart, nitvakesh mimenu l'hiyot, what's that?
Nechel
ruach, v'nichna, to be modest, to be lowly, not gadlut adam, shiflut adam. The heart wants to be modest, wants to be shiflut hadam, not great. So the intellect aspires for greatness, but the heart aspires for simplicity. I want to be a humble person, a modest person. Lev nishbar v'nidche elokim lo tivazeh. That's who HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for. He looks for a modest person. V'adam einenu nikra shalem, ele v'yikabetz bo shtei hamidot hitromamut haseichel u'shirat halev. And a person is not fulfilled unless he has both. The capacity for greatness through his seichel, his moach, and the capacity for simplicity and modesty and humility recognized by the lev, shvirat halev. The Kotzker Rebbe used to say, there is nothing more whole than a broken heart. Right? He said in a halachic context, one day maybe we'll do it. It's not so romantic when you see it in the halakhic context, but it's a beautiful, beautiful statement.
He said,
Ach muvan.
Ein davar shalem kmo lev shavur.
Nachon. Zeh Rabbi Mikotsky. Ach muvan she'ein shtei eile niknot la'adam b'rege echad. He says, you understand that you cannot acquire these two qualities simultaneously. It's impossible, right? One has to precede the other. And that's the machlokas of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. U'bezeh pligi Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Ma lakdi, what has to come first? You're developing yourself. You want to become a wholesome person. What do you work on first? Your intellect or your midot? Right? Your greatness, so to speak, or your lowliness? Right? Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says, lahachil beshleimut v'yitromamut haseichel. Go for the intellect. Develop yourself intellectually. Learn Yidiat Hashem, knowledge of the world and the Ribono Shel Olam Torah. Right? Ki be'im yatchil b'shvirat halev. If you start with the broken heart approach, with the humility, yesh lachush, we can fear, sheyitbatel be'enei atzmo, you're going to humble you, you're going to do such a good job of saying that you're nobody, that you're going to give up on aspiring for anything. V'lo ya'amin b'chayav, v'yigrom lo yiyush nora. you'll become a despairing, depressed person, right? That Beis Shammai is afraid of that. So start with the intellect. Im kein mutav lahatchil b'hasagot v'idromamut hasechel. Go for broke. Go for the heights. But they said, yeah, libo mugba b'darkei Hashem. Your heart will be full of the ways of Hashem. V'ibatel u'machshavato et kol hamoneim v'hamaleigim v'yu be'enav ke'efes. And then when you realize how great God is, you'll realize how small you are, and you're really nothing compared to the Rebbe Shalom, and it'll lower you. Then go for the other thing. Now, Beit Hillel says no. Sheish la'atchil b'lev nishpar. Start with midot. Start with working on your humility. Ki be'im ya'atchil b'hitromamut ha'seichel. Because if you start with that intellectual achievement, yesh la'chush she'tista'eif gasot ha'ruach v'chutzba yiteira. There's a fear that you'll become a balgaiva, you'll become an arrogant person, and you'll be full of chutzpah, and you'll be dismissive of everybody in the world, and your midos, you won't be able, you won't be in a position to work on your midah, right? Shehen ketris al halev. These qualities of arrogance are like a blind. They're like a curtain on the heart. Mipnei shum davar kedusha. They will not allow any holiness, any sanctity to come in. The Abba Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says, "Umistama kach halacha." That's the halacha. Shelabria. That's what he meant in the Medrash. Shelabria, in terms of creation, Hashemayim kidmu. First, the intellect was created. Torah was created in heaven. It was created. Torah came before, in fact, the world. Right? Haynu shadam matchil lihitorer efshar ki imal yedeh hitrom utasezo. A person needs that elevation, right? Mitam imanal, for the reason we said Shamru Beis Shammai, for all the reasons Beis Shammai said, but aval shichlul, for fulfillment, towards fulfillment and completion of the man, haynu echad, haynu acharsha, hitorerut reshit, hitorerut shuv shvirat halev kodemet. You have to realize that the intellectual thing is something to aspire for. It was created first, but now that you see it. Now go to Aretz. Now work on Shvirat Halev, on your character, right? Like Beit Hillel, and that's what you have to do. Ubeemet matzino ki yotzi b'zeh gam b'divrei Beit Hillel atzmo. And that's so we paskin like Beit Hillel. Work on your menschlichkeit first, and then work on your intellectual capacity in Torah, right? And you see from another statement of Hillel in Pirkei Avot, what does he say? Im ein ani li mili. If I am not for myself, who am I? Ulikisha ani la'atzmi, mani. But if I'm only for myself, I'm a nobody. I'm nothing, right? So here you see, you need both. Tchila im ein ani li mili. Haynu hakbat halev yitrom mutasezo. I have to understand that there's this great achievement that I have potential for greatness, right? Lemor kol ha'olam kulo lo nivra ela bishvili. I have the potential to say the world was created for me to conquer it. Ach li'ityashev, tekef, u'kishani la'atzmi mani. But who am I really? Shezui midat shvirat halev. You have to break your heart. U'mikol makom ein zeh ha'tachlit lishaer kol hayom ba'achnato. But the purpose of life is not to remain in that broken state all day long. V'rak din kedima l'shichlul. It just has to come first in terms of fulfillment and conclusion. Nitan l'shvirat halev. Aval achakach hashamayim nishtachalu hu ha'idromut v'hasagas ha'seichel. Then you have to go for the intellectual capacity. Kitzur ha'davar shereshit ha'itorut ha'adam tiyem mipat hitromut ha'seichel. A person has to be awakened by the possibility of greatness. V'achakach l'shuv ha'libo. Livchano, then you have to work on your heart. Hu kefi hamevakesh umizet titzmach lo shvirat halev. All right, so now just go to the last paragraph. Dugma zeh. Now he comes back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and here we say Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avraham. So dugma zeh, the perfect example of this. Yesh lomar inyan haavot. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham hayta midato lev nishbar. Avraham was the Isha Chesed. He was the person who was the absolute opposite of arrogance. Kemoshe Katuv, as it says, V'anochi afar ve'efer. I am dust and ashes. V'Yaakov, Udat, Yaakov is Torah, right? Yaakov is Yoshev Alim, he's Torah, he's intellectual achievement. V'yan ha'avot hen shichlulo shel olam. The avot are the fulfillment of the world, so to speak. El toldot shamayim va'aretz bi'baram. How do we know that? Because these are the generations of the heaven and the earth, bi'baram. The rabbis play on this word. V'yom asot ha'ar Hashem Elokim Eretz v'shamayim, right? Al tikre b'ha'he baram, don't say he baram, ele b'Avraham, right? Avraham is the conclusion of the created world. And who's Avraham? Avraham is the broken heart. Al ken k'tiv Eretz v'shamayim b'resha Eretz. Eretz comes first. Shu b'chinat lev nishbar, that's Avraham. That's how the world was created. Al ken b'chol makom Avraham kadosh. Avraham comes first. Ach begalus, but when the Jewish people are in their dispersion, outside of Eretz Yisrael, were dispersed, davim, schufim, umiturdafim, ukemat, we're about to despair. Ve'en adam ma'amin b'chayav, a person doesn't believe in his life to lift him from this despair. V'sheyu torato, tfilato mitvakeshet, kama v'kama mahut, at that point, and that's what the pasuk is talking about, to lift us from our despair, we have to put gadlut, the greatness of man, ahead of the lowness of man. But normally speaking, the order has to be the lowliness first, and then the greatness. This is the machlokas and of Hillel and Shammai, and that's why in the after the tochacha, after the curses, when we feel so low. So low and so nothing, so it's reversed. Zecharti is Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram. In order to realize how great we are, we can climb above all these curses with our intellectual capacity. So here it's reversed. At this moment of despair, when we hear the Torah, that's why it's reversed at the end of the Torah. Beautiful idea. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we have some comments here. David?